It's 11:08. Good morning. And that means it's Monday. No, it's Monday, which means it's time for Dick Weiser, media critic, WeiserWrite.com, also of the STLBeacon.org. Dick, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to be back.
Good to be here. Good to be back. Good to be seen. What about George Carlin?
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Sad. Too many bad icons falling week after week.
As a media critic, I don't know if George Carlin is per se a media story, but here's a man who really, he's a comedian and he told jokes for a living, but talk about being the cultural epicenter for a number of years.
Right. Wasn't he the
Seven words, right?
Seven words.
Yeah, and they went to the Supreme Court over those seven words.
Right. Are any one of them ones that we can now say on the air?
No.
There are no breakthroughs there?
No breakthroughs.
No, okay, I won't try it. No. I'm not even sure what they are because I was raised right.
Well, you can guess what they are. They're usually slang for proper terms. Now, I will say, though, that that court case led to the definition or the separation of the difference between obscene and indecent, which I don't quite understand what the difference is, but it's if it's indecent, you can do that at certain times when children aren't listening. But if it's obscene, you can never do it.
Oh, when aren't children listening?
I don't know. But if somebody can explain to me the difference between obscene and indecent.
I couldn't go there. I'm not sure.
All right. NewYorkTimes.com. I don't know if it was in the main newspaper or not, which I guess sort of explains the problem newspapers are having.
Right. I missed it.
Is that there's a story about how newspapers are in serious trouble, and I want to read you a quote from an analyst of Goldman Sachs. He says, I think the probability is very high that there will be a number of examples of individual newspapers and newspaper companies that fall into a lost position, and I think it's inevitable that there will be closures in the industry and maybe bankruptcies. They're saying newspapers are facing their worst year ever in ad revenue.
Yes, and if you go to a site, AOL, there is a listing of top 15 companies most likely to go into bankruptcy, and Lee Enterprises, the owner of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I believe, was ranked number 7 after some airlines. And, of course, that's just speculation, and who knows what kind of shape they're in. But what we do know is that the stock price of Lee Enterprises was about 24 about a year ago. That was their high for the year, and now it's in between $4 and $5.
$4 and $5,
which maybe means it's a buying opportunity.
Now, how much did they buy Pulitzer for?
Oh, I forgot.
$1.1 billion or something?
More than a billion.
I think it was like $1.1 billion.
And now the whole company is not worth that.
Yeah, and they were a pretty big company.
They had newspapers across the nation.
Across the nation,
a couple dozen, I believe, weeklies, dailies.
And is it as simple as the readers are going to the internet, or is it that Craigslist has taken the classified revenue away? Is it a combination of all those things? Is it the bad economy?
Yeah, I think it's all those things.
Yeah,
and I think the what's been interesting is that the internet as a place to go find information has been out there pretty strongly for about 20 years, and in the 90s,
right.
when it really got ramped up, but it's really accelerated just in the past few years, and people have begun to recognize, well, I could get this free,
right?
I can get all this information free. I don't have to go out, trundle out to my lawn and pick up a newspaper that's going to get ink on my fingers, and
right.
I'm going to have to get rid of it and recycle it and be bothered with it. And, of course, the generations, the most loyal readers for newspapers are older readers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they tend to die as
right.
they get even older.
Right.
And a younger generation is coming along that did not get hooked into newspapers in the way that you and I did, and certainly our parents did. So all this is coming to pass. The chicken's coming home to roost, and it's really changing. And it's taking on newspapers. One of the unfortunate aspects of newspapering is that it has been so successful for so long that the people who are running them didn't want to change.
Right.
And they began to winnow out the people who had imagination and enterprise and hire managers to cut costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that has also had its effect as well. It's more intangible.
But let me say, well, first of all, two things. What would St. Louis look like if their only major daily newspaper went out of business?
Well, it would be a real... Well, I don't know if it would be a disaster. It would be a, kind of a free-for-all and be very messy, but people have a need for information. And so there'll be, there would be a lot of websites and perhaps some things printed on paper that would try to fill the void. If you remember many years ago when we had a newspaper strike and TV stations had hour-long newscasts and there were other papers that came along, strike papers that came along and filled the void in the marketplace. So I am not as pessimistic as some people. What I think is what you would lose is the common place where everybody gathered, in a sense, the public square, something that everybody read in common.
Mm-hmm.
And there was you'd have a dialogue about those things. You read the paper, other talk show folks read the paper, and you pick up from that, and that's
right.
frequently what you talk about.
Right.
But now, increasingly, you have 100 different places you can go to find fodder.
Right.
And that would be true locally, too, I think, as well.
So Bernie Mikkelsen's column about why he hates Boston winning the championships wouldn't necessarily be a topic of conversation over dinner, because not everybody would have read it.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's there are good things and bad things about it. It's far more democratic. Everybody gets to play, not just Bernie. You would also, people will tend to gravitate towards the more visceral outlets, the ones that they agree with or are very opinionated or angry. And you'll find that people will not be able to have even agree on what should be talked about anymore.
Right, right, right.
If the New York Times said it, they're the left-wing site, and we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
That's not worth our attention. And the same on the right.
What I find fascinating about newspapers is that you can't, and many times, give the Post away. Mm-hmm. Yet, Riverfront Times doesn't cost a dime, and at the end of the week, you can't find a copy. It's out,
mm-hmm.
And kids, and it's full of ads. Right, there's a couple of stories in there, but mostly it's advertising and or lists of bands and everything
right.
else. Riverfront Times is going along fine.
As far as I can tell,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they even may be challenged at some point. But what the Riverfront Times found was a particular niche, a particular demographic, of young readers who want or looking for entertainment.
Right.
I'm not so sure they read the articles
right.
all that much. But they want to know how to have a good time, and so they found that. And increasingly, newspapers are a little bit like department stores. The department stores sell shoes. They sell. They used to sell books, and now there are category killers came along. You can go to Payless Shoes and get cheaper shoes and more
right.
variety. You can go to Borders or Amazon and find books, and the department stores can't sell those as much anymore.
So you really think it'll be now this is just a big if, but if it goes out of business, you think about it, St. Louis was a 4, 5, 6 newspaper town 100 years ago, right?
Right.
So, it'll be the Wild Wild West all over again. We'll have 6 or 7 or 8 different websites, and,
right.
I'm sure KTRS's website will get more popular because we'll have more news on it, or there'll be a void there. Cardinal Baseball, it'll be the Wild Wild West. With
right. I
news.
Just wonder how the Cardinals are going to handle handing out the press passes to 300 bloggers.
Right.
As opposed, they could just give it to the Post-Dispatch. I mean, they're probably, you've been in the press box lately where they have.
They don't have room for 300.
Maybe 2 dozen
right.
Press
good,
passes are,
it's a good
are
question.
Out there.
It's a good question.
Oh, the food, the hot dogs. I think the Post-Dispatch pays for those now.
I want to ask you about the stlbeacon.org, which is a great website and getting better and better every day, I mind you. They got a story in there about foreclosures coming to St. Louis.
Yes. This is the first example of a kind of a collaboration between Channel 9, where the Beacon has its offices, by the way, or I guess you might say its office.
Right.
It's because it's not exactly a huge number of deaths there. But and we've been working with them on a series on foreclosure, looking at how serious it is around the nation and around St. Louis. And the first story is up already. And the prediction for St. Louis City and County puts foreclosures at 8,000 this year, an increase from 7,000 in 2007. And it looks like it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And so we are asking people if they're in the same boat as Ed McMahon, probably not as large a boat as Ed McMahon, to get in touch with us. Mary Leonard is the reporter for the Beacon who's working on this. You can read the first story there.
And but as bad as it is in St. Louis, it's nowhere near as bad as it is in other places.
No, there's some really difficult, terrible places in California and Florida. I've been reading about a lot of foreclosures in Charlotte, North Carolina, for instance. And it's not just the home, that the individual home that's involved when these foreclosures happen. It really begins to take down a neighborhood because these homes don't get taken care of.
Right.
And you're looking for a home in a neighborhood. You want to maybe buy a home in a neighborhood, and you drive past a home with the gutters falling off, and you're not necessarily going to want to buy the home next door.
Right. All right. I also want to ask you, I don't have to read the New York Times style section because, well, I basically, they follow what I do.
Right, right.
So I missed the style section.
Yes.
But did you see the story about Mad Men, the TV show that's coming back?
No, I didn't see that one. I love that show.
It's on the cover of the New York Times magazine, I believe, this past week. They got a great story. The lead character in that television show on AMC is from St. Louis, John Hamm.
Oh, right, right.
And
did he go to John Burroughs?
I think so, yeah. And there's a great story about Mad Men, which is the smartest, hippest, funnest television show.
It's starting up again this summer?
It's starting up again,
Get the TiVo going.
But you pointed out something in the style section of the New York Times.
Yes. Actually, I thought that it was leading the section. I just read it online, and I thought surely this is leading the section, but it wasn't because they had a piece on Lance Armstrong and his many girlfriends and whether that was going to overwhelm his charitable efforts.
He has a girlfriend for every Tour de France he won.
Yes. And it's more women on his lap than a napkin, I think the phrase was. But the story beneath it is headlined, "He's Pregnant, You're Speechless." And this is about Thomas Beatty, who just came on my radar screen lately, but apparently he's been out there for many months. Maybe you've talked about him, McGraw. He is pregnant. He was a woman and had a operation, but apparently did not dispose of all the female.
He's a woman, but he's taking male harem hormones.
Right, and he has a wife.
Right,
but he's the one who got pregnant. This is the New York Times mainstream media, and we were in a quandary. My wife and I, Sally, is the health editor for the Beacon, and we put up links to stories. And A, is this a health story? And B, does this fit our mantra at the Beacon, news that matters, and a man who is pregnant? And for me, it was a no-brainer. I'd put the link up. She had to sleep on it.
That's why I like her better.
Right.
Better than you.
Right. Now, what I would have drawn the line at is if he was pregnant with a space alien.
I
would have done that.
He is not really a he.
Yeah,
he has all the female parts and he dresses as a man.
Kind of a she, yeah.
Right. So it's a she parts.
Yeah. Right.
So it's the hype that's getting everybody.
Right. And the New York Times typically dealt with it in a very intellectual fashion and talking about gender identity and how people are trying to come to grips with this and so on. But it is a little bizarre. And is this something that you want to put in your sober and sensible website or your newspaper?
What's the best story we've never read?
Well, I haven't put it up yet, but it'll be there. There's a story in The Atlantic called "Is Google Making Us Stupid?" STOOPID. And essentially, it's not just Google's fault. It's people who do a lot of online reading are finding, very smart, intelligent people are finding that they cannot sit down with a book anymore. They do not have the attention span because they're constantly clicking on and off things. And I noticed this myself, is that I'm having a hard time sticking with a book because I'm reading things that take me 3 minutes at the most,
right?
Maybe 5 minutes. In fact, I had a hard time getting through this article because it's fairly it's fairly long, and I can report on about 2/3 of it, and it's very interesting, very good. And
yeah, but you can still read a book, though.
Physically, I can, but it's hard for me. It's much harder for me to get engaged more than it used to be. I mean, reading half books and 2/3 of books.
Really?
How about you? Are you getting through books?
You know what? I find myself, I have to take myself out of, I have to decompress a little bit.
Yeah. Go to a beach.
Well, no, I mean, I can sit on the couch and turn off the television, turn off the radio, and turn off the outside, you know, influences and sit and read, and then I'm fine. But in the day-to-day crazy world, no, I'm not going to sit down and read a book because I'm not going to enjoy it the way I could.
Right.
Because you're too busy otherwise. Because your email and your text message are going off and the boss wants you and you want to talk to me and everything else. So, all right. That's at weisswright.com. The website, too, is Google making you stupid. All right, Dick, also stlbeacon.org.
Correct.
All right, there you go. Thanks.